All of this work with philology and with languages set up Tolkien's invention of his own languages. And even at a very early age, sometimes with his cousin, he had started to create new languages, one of which he called Animalic, and the other which was called Nevbosh, which was short for new nonsense, Bosh being nonsense and Nev being new. But what Tolkien did with his languages is he took all that knowledge he had of philology and all those rules about how languages changed, and he ran it in reverse. So instead of using it to describe a language, he used it to create one. Just to give you an example, if you were to go pick up Bright's Gothic Grammar, and Joseph Bright was one of Tolkien's teachers at Oxford, if you went and picked up Bright's Gothic Grammar and you look at it, you would see first it would have a long description of all the sounds in the language. For example, it would start out with all the sounds that are called stops, like P and B, in which the flow of air is stopped as you're speaking. And then it would describe the fricatives, and then it would describe the vowels and so forth. It would go through all the different sounds and how they were pronounced in that language and how they're different from other languages. Then it would do a little bit on the grammar, and then it would do some vocabulary. This is how Tolkien invented his languages. He talked about the sound rules that were used to generate them. And then he went to vocabulary, and then he went to grammar. And so if you even look at what's been published or is what's going to be published of Tolkien's elvish grammars and so forth, you see, oh, wow, we finally got to verbs. And some of the languages have very, very few verbs because he never got to the point where he'd write the verbs, because in the traditional philological textbook, verbs come last. And then you get syntax, which he really never got around to. Tolkien had two major invented languages that he spent decades working on. The first one he called Quenya, and it's supposed to be the language of the high elves, that is, of the most important elves. He called it Elvish Latin sometimes. Let me just read a little bit of Quenya to you. Ai lori lantar lasi surinen, yene onto ime ve ramar audaran, yene ve linte yuldar vanier, mior mardilis miroveva. Andune pelevardu telumar, nuluini yasen, tintilar ieleni, omario arietari lirinen. Now, Quenya is based on the phonology, that's the allowable sounds and the sound patterns, of Finnish. Tolkien found a Finnish grammar when he was in school at Oxford, and he said it was like stumbling upon a whole cellar full of new and unusual wine. Now, he never became particularly good at Finnish. He could read a little bit of the Kalevala, he's claimed. I think he probably could do a bit more than he admits to. But he loved the way Finnish looked and sounded. Finnish has vowel harmony, that different types of vowels are matched up with each other so that the words have a particular flowing feel to them. And there's also rules about where R's and L's have to be inserted so you can't have big clusters of consonants. And that gives you the sound that you heard in Quenya. Tolkien's other major invented language is called Sindarin. And that he based on the phonology of Welsh. He liked Welsh a great deal. He talked about watching the coal trucks go by in Birmingham and seeing these wonderful long Welsh names on the ends of the coal trucks. And he did read medieval Welsh and modern Welsh. So let me read a little bit of Sindarin. This, by the way, is what most people think of when they think of as Elvish. It shows up a lot in The Lord of the Rings, where Quenya is only that one little passage that I read where Galadriel is speaking in that language. But Sindarin is most of the place names and all over the place, and you'll probably recognize this very famous little poem in Sindarin. A Elbreth Gilthoniel Silivrin Penemiriel O Menel Aglar Eleneth Necharad Padendiriel O galad remen enorath, fenulios le linathon, nef aiar si nef eran.